He said the only way we could hope to establish closer relations would be if we would discontinue our support for Israel, but it was not likely that that was going to happen.
It's a need for a new world order.
Know it by now. You can't win. It's pointless to keep fighting. Why, Mr. Anderson? Why? Why do you persist?
word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. I do ask every publisher, every editor, and every newsman in the nation to re-examine his own standards and to recognize the nature of our country's peril. It requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. This is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, to the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
If it hasn't changed since the laws passed.
I'll tell you what I think. The cocksucking elite who own and run everything in this fucking country are selling it out from under us tomorrow. There ain't no battle over fucking NAFTA. That's a fucking charade. Like our elections are a fucking charade. And tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, they're selling your fucking life out from under you. Don't you ever fucking forget it either. There's dick jokes coming up. Please relax. Folks, here's the deal. I editorialize for 45 minutes. The last 15, I pull my chute. We all pull our chutes and float down to Dick Joke Island together. We will rest our weary heads against the big purple-veined trunks of dick jokes while bouncing in our spongy scrotum beanbag chairs and giggle away the night like good American comedy audiences are supposed to, goddammit, with pee-pee jokes.
Now, if you have or had one of these plans before the Affordable Care Act came into law, and you really liked that plan, what we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the law's passed. So we wrote into the Affordable Care Act, you're grandfathered in on that plan. But if the insurance company changes it, then what we're saying is they've got to change it to a higher standard. What we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the law's passed. What we said was you could keep it.
The message is now part of and registered in your subconscious mind. Every time you say, see, hear, or think, that's your key phrase. It will trigger the entire message without your being aware of it. It will signal your subconscious mind, flashing a message. The subconscious will listen and absorb this message.
Exactly.
You know my problem? I watch too much news. I don't know if you've ever sat and watched CNN longer than, say, 20 hours in one day. I've got to cut that out. You ever watch CNN headline news for any length of time? It's the most depressing fucking thing you will ever do. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless, recession, depression, war, famine, death, AIDS. Then you look out your window, it's just... Where is all this shit happening, man? Ted Turner is making this shit up. Jane Fonda won't sleep with him. He runs to a typewriter. By 1992, we will all die of AIDS. Read that on the air. I don't get laid. Nobody gets laid. I mean, I'm writing Jane Fonda. Will you fuck this guy so we can get some good news, please? I want to see a well-laid Ted Turner newscast. Hey, it's all going to work out. Here's sports. A big stupid grin. Fuck, I'm getting laid right now. Fuck it. Hey. So I'm from the States, as you can tell by my complete lack of sophistication, but that's okay. Because I've greased my hair and I'm a little fucking poet tonight, all right? I'm a little dark poet. That's who I am. And during the, we had this big war thing happen. I don't know if you caught any of that, but... It was a very stressful time for me, the war. I'll tell you why. I was in the unenviable position of being for the war, but against the troops. And not the most popular stance I've ever taken on an issue, I must say. I don't choose wisely always, and yet I'm committed. So, first of all, this needs to be said. There never was a war.
How can you say that, Bill?
Well, a war is when two armies are fighting. So you see, right there, I think we can all agree it wasn't exactly a war. And Bush, President Bush, a complete surprise, he turned into a demon man. When he was first president, they called him the wimp president. I mean, this was the cover of Newsweek. Wimp president. Apparently, this stuck in this guy's craw. Guy turned into a fucking demon, man. We surrender. Not good enough. We run away. Too little, too late. We're having way too much fun. Those guys were in hog heaven out there. You understand, man? They had a big weapons catalog opened up. What's G12 do, Tommy?
Well, it says here it destroys everything but the fillings in their teeth. Helps us pay for the war effort. Well, shit, pull that one up. Pull up G12, please. Cool. What's G13 do? Weapons for all occasions. And everyone got excited about the technology, and I guess it was pretty incredible watching a missile fly down an air vent. Pretty unbelievable. But couldn't we feasibly use that same technology to shoot food at hungry people? You know what I mean? Fly over Ethiopia, there's a guy that needs a banana. Stealth banana. Smart fruit.
The White House says the healthcare.gov website is dramatically improved, but does that mean Obamacare is now out of the woods? Joining us again, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, an architect of the Affordable Care Act and vice provost at the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Emanuel. Welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Good.
Since the relaunch a week ago of the website, enrollment numbers are up sharply. That's the good news. But the administration says that the website is still sending erroneous messages or incomplete information to insurers, about 1 in 10 people who think they have signed up. Isn't a 10% error rate still a serious problem?
Well, as I understand it, they're working very hard on those so-called 834 forms. And second of all, they're working with the insurers to clean up that information. And they did push that a little further down, which they have time to do because they don't need to get the information to them for another few weeks. And they're both working really hard to solve that problem. In addition, they identified one bug that seemed to be causing a large portion.
But it's still
of
a problem,
those,
would you agree,
of those
a 10% error rate?
Look, they're solving problems. In October, you said they couldn't solve the problem of signing up. They have gone a long way to solving
that.
Now they've decidedly put this second, and they're addressing it.
Okay, but let me make the point. I never said that they couldn't fix it. I'm just simply pointing out it isn't fixed, and there's still a 10% error rate. Let's get into that, because you talked about the fact that the government sends nightly 834 forms, enrollment forms, to the insurers, which tell them how many people have signed up, who they are, all the information. But it turns out that some people are just left off entirely. That's called an orphan report. Isn't it certainly a real possibility that thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of people who think they've signed up, these so-called orphans, may end up on January 1st not having coverage?
Well, it's an interesting issue.
President Obama famously promised, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Doesn't that turn out to be just as false, just as misleading as his promise about if you like your plan, you can keep your plan? Isn't it a fact, sir, that most, in fact, of the Obamacare health plans that are being offered on the exchanges exclude a number of doctors and hospitals to lower costs?
The president never said you were going to have unlimited choice of any doctor in the country you want to go. Let me just finish.
Wait, no. He asked a question. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Did he not say that, sir?
He didn't say you can have unlimited choice.
It's a simple yes or no question. Did he say if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor?
Yes, but look, if you want to pay more for an insurance company that covers your doctor, you can do that. This is a matter of choice. We know in all sorts of places you pay more for a wider range of choices or a wider range of benefits. The issue isn't these selective networks. People keep saying, oh, the problem is you're going to have a selective network.
Well, if you lose your doctor or you lose your hospital.
Let me just say something. People are going to have a choice as to whether they want to pay a certain amount for a selective network or pay more for a broader network.
Which will mean your premiums will probably go up.
They get that choice. That's a choice
which
we always
make. Which means your premium
may
go up over what you were paying. So that, in other words,
guaranteed you that your premium wouldn't increase. Premiums have been going up.
The president guaranteed me I could keep my doctor.
Under President And if you want to, you can pay for it.
Just
under President
Bush,
premiums went up 80% after inflation. We've actually seen a leveling off of health care costs and premiums in the last few years because of changes that have been made.
Finally, I have one
As a matter of fact, choice is something we all understand, and we all understand that for more choice, more benefits, you have to pay more. One more thing I'd like to point out.
No one
has launched a big PR campaign to get these people signed up because of the problems with the federal website. We are about to launch a big PR campaign, and that, I think, is going to persuade a lot of people to sign up.
I would simply point out that the Harvard poll says only 20% say they're going to sign up. And
definitely.
And so far in California, it's only 20%, so you're 39% figure.
We haven't had a PR campaign.
I understand that the Obama campaign slogan was hope. But at this point, that's all you seem to have, that 39% are going to sign up.
We haven't had a campaign, and we have four more months to go to the end of March.
We need to find a way forward to make sure that we can stop terrorists while protecting privacy and liberty of innocent Americans.
This is not about giving the state access to the content of people's emails or telephone conversations. That requires a warrant, and all the proper processes have to be gone through.
The public shouldn't be worried about this. This is about ensuring that police and security services can continue to protect the public, can continue to catch criminals and stop terrorists.
We have to find a way to give the president the power he needs to protect us while making sure that he doesn't abuse that power.
An awful lot of misinformation, frankly, has been put about what's being proposed.
So the American and British public have been repeatedly reassured they have nothing to be concerned about over increased surveillance measures. But a recent top secret leak from the NSA has proven that the agency has a massive surveillance program called Boundless Informant. The program analyzes all of the data collected by their intelligence gathering systems. And the leak showed that in March 2013, 3 billion pieces of intelligence were collected from US computer networks. And worldwide, 97 billion pieces of intelligence were gathered. It's pretty embarrassing for the NSA because they've repeatedly tried to reassure the American public that they had no such capability. But let's take a step back for a second. Just who are the NSA? It stands for National Security Agency, and they're in charge of collecting cryptologic intelligence on foreign targets, i.e. not American people. The American public are protected by the Fourth Amendment, which means that no wiretapping can take place without the approval of US foreign intelligence surveillance courts, the Attorney General of the United States, or the Director of the NSA, and a whole bunch of other stipulations, all there to protect the public. But that didn't stop the Bush administration from expanding the NSA's powers so they could monitor the web activity, including emails and telephone calls of US citizens, if one end of the communication was outside the US. That caused quite a bit of controversy in the United States way back in 2007. And then in 2011, the controversy stepped up again when James Bamford wrote an article for Wired claiming that the NSA was involved in a massive data mining operation in Utah. At that time, Chris Inglis, the NSA's highest ranking civilian, told reporters, "I can't tell you a lot of what they're going to be doing because it's highly classified." Congress couldn't ignore all of the noise, and they started to ask questions, and the NSA kept batting those accusations out of the park.
Does the NSA routinely intercept American citizens' emails?
No.
Does the NSA intercept Americans' cell phone conversations?
No.
Google searches?
No.
Text messages?
No.
Amazon.com orders?
No.
Bank records?
No.
But the latest leak shows just how far this NSA surveillance program has gone. We now know that the NSA used Boundless Informant to analyze all of their intelligence, a capability they have repeatedly denied they actually have.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly.
Boundless Informant analyzes significant amounts of data, and a heat map in the leak showed that Iran and Pakistan were heavily monitored, but the program didn't stop there. PRISM is the code name for their program to access data held by tech giants like Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Skype, although those companies deny knowing the program exists at all. This slide shows when each of those services were added to the PRISM program, and this slide shows the kinds of data that NSA have access to. Things like your email, your chat, including video and voice chat, your videos, photos, stored data, Skype calls, file transfers, and even your logins. The scale of this data access means that almost anybody in any country could have their information accessed. In an interview with The Guardian's Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras, the man behind the leak, Edward Snowden, revealed just how powerful this data is.
I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
And so then came the backpedaling from the politicians who reassured the public that there was nothing to worry about. General James Clapper, who denied the existence of these programs in Congress, called the leaks reprehensible. President Obama said congressional oversight would stop the NSA becoming Big Brother. But since he said that, it's been revealed that congressional leaders were briefed on it just 13 times in 4 years. So Congress was hardly doing its job of overseeing the agency. Al Gore tweeted that it was obscenely outrageous to have people secretly surveilled, and others have said it has broken the United States Constitution. Over here, the government has refused to confirm or deny whether the UK's GCHQ has had access to information gathered using the NSA's PRISM system. And Foreign Secretary William Hague said that law-abiding citizens have no reason to worry. The argument goes that if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. But is this really how privacy works? When people close the curtains in their living rooms at night, they do so not because they have something to hide, but because they're entitled to some privacy. Would you let people peer through your living room window without your knowledge, even if you didn't have anything to hide? And if that's the case, shouldn't this be the way that digital privacy works as well? Then there's another issue which is yet to be discussed at great length. John Perkins, the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, has highlighted the potential for blackmail. If the NSA can dig up information on anyone it likes, it's possible that dirt can be found on anyone. A presidential candidate, a Supreme Court judge, academics. It's personal information on their sexuality or previous drug use that they might want to keep private, and that information can be used to blackmail people. With access to this kind of data, the NSA have the potential to hold a dagger over a huge number of people. So should any agency have access to this kind of information? Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers 40 years ago, has described Edward Snowden as saving America. He wrote that a digital police state infrastructure had been created in the United States. Ellsberg also says that this leak is the most important in the US's history.
The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change.
tell them you're wrong. Your time, your ideas, no barcode, no party, no ID, no beers. Your bank card, your license, your thoughts, your fears. No SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here. Your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your pills, your grass, your tits, your ass, your laughs, your balls. We won't
be blunt. Your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul.
Tell us your habits, your facts, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Play the lottery, play football, play the field, or some toot. We'll show you dream, we'll show you smooth, we'll buy you dream, throw away your blue. We'll sell you crap, we'll judge you then. Wanna buy big guns,
we want
some cash. Your love, your dreams, your checkbook, your essence, your sweat, your screams, your security, your sobriety, your innocence, your society, yourself, your place, your distance, your space.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, watch this. Shut up. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Matters. Here's Britney, here's cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock, and some roller. Watch commercial, no commercial, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life, from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wax, here's football shirt, here's baseball cap, here's live talk shows, here's video game, here's cola life, here's tin lorna, here's filter tip, here's college milk, here's all night long, here's plastic.
We want your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here's American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch these pituary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Your phone. We want your.
fire, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your voices. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan, get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit, playing the lottery, playing football, play the field, sports update. We'll show you treat, we'll show you smooth, we'll buy you drinks, throw away your book, we'll sell you crap, we'll charge you debt, we're gonna buy big guns, we'll want of cash. No skaters, no tweakers, no tooth, no sleep. Here's boy bands, here's Maggers, here's Ridley, here's Cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock, and some roller. Watch commercials, more commercials, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wear, here's football shirts, here's baseball caps, here's live talk shows, here's video games, here's Cola Life, here's Tim Morning, here's filter tips, here's collagen hips, here's all my balls, here's plastic hips.
Your house, your taste, we your want, your house, 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 Commercials.